Local radio for Portsmouth.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Another week, another Pompey match preview. The Blues head into their fourth league game of the season tomorrow afternoon, making the journey up north to Burton Albion, who look to stand in the way of the Blues and their first league victory of the new season. Last time out, Kenny Jackett's side suffered an unexpected defeat at the hands of a side in administration.
Wigan lining this one up. It's a shot on goal. It is into the net. Wigan have a second. Unbelievable. Is it Perry who's drilled it in?
Wigan Athletic came away from Fratton Park with all 3 points last weekend, despite a late consolation goal from Ellis Harrison. That result has left the Blues in the relegation zone in League One, although it is, of course, still very early days. This evening, me and my two guests will be awaiting the interaction of you back home, the Pompey loyal. How would you line the Blues up this weekend if you were manager for a day? Would John Marquis benefit from being partnered with Ellis Harrison up top? And how high would you rate the chances of Kenny Jackett saving Pompey's season? 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Pompey at expressfm.com is our email address. You can tweet us at expressfm or visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. You have between now and 7 p.m. to get your views across to the panel. On FM, DAB, online or through your smart speaker, a very warm welcome to you all. This is the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and thank you for tuning in to Express FM for tonight's instalment of the Football Hour, which of course is proudly driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. We've got plenty to look forward to this evening. Once again, I'll be calling two Blues supporters to share their thoughts and fears following the slow start to the season. They'll also be on hand to help me pick apart what has been going on the pitch, as well as to preview this weekend's league trip up to Burton Albion. Also on tonight's show, Pompey Supporters Trust Treasurer Donald Vass checks in to go through the statement released by the PST earlier this week, which pleaded the government to re-evaluate the decision to postpone the return of supporters at elite-level football grounds. And as always, we're counting on the support from back home too. We'd love to hear from you. Whether you've got a question to ask, an opinion to share, or a prediction to make, please do not hesitate to get in touch. This is your chance to have your voices heard through the powers of radio. 81400 is the number to text. Start off with the word Express, followed by your name and message. Or you can email in pompey@expressfm.com. There's Twitter at ExpressFM is what to include within your tweets. And finally, you can also get involved through Facebook, facebook.com/Pompey Live. Before we do get started, though, let's take a trip back in time. We revisit Pompey's last fixture, which was at home to Wigan Athletic last Saturday. The Latics came down to Fratton Park without a point to their name and still suffering under the powers of administration. The Blues welcomed John Sheridan's side, who were relegated from the Championship last term, to PO4, having not been defeated on home soil in the league since April 2019. It just had all the makings for a defeat, didn't it? Perhaps we should have seen it coming. Your commentary team for this one consisted of Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Marquis outside the area, lays that one off. Pring in the box. Pring trying to find Marquis. His cross is blocked and it's behind for a corner kick. Still 0-0. Back out to the left wing. Jacobs to deliver. Right footed, lifted in towards the area. Misjudged by the goalkeeper. And headed over his own goal by Cal Naismith for Wigan. Good defending. Another corner kick to Pompey. 0-0. And Johnson doesn't get a free kick that he wanted. And Evans into the area. Tries a curling effort. Wide of the post. A goal kick, but a scare for Pompey. 0-0. Jacobs into the box. Jacobs to the far post. Great bit of sliding defending from Tom James coming in, getting there ahead of Curtis. Now Pring can deliver a three-step run-up. Lost it deep to the far post. Again, misjudged by the goalkeeper. Couple of deflections. It's going to run out of play and it'll be a Wigan throw on the far side there right. Solomon off the ball. Scored one goal in his 10 Pompey appearances. Can he cross from the left outside the area? It's a good one into the box and Raggett defends it well. Loose on the edge of the area. Shot on goal. Brought by Watmore. Still there. It's going to go in the net. And Wigan have scored. McGilvery had already gone down to the ground trying to save one of the earlier shots. And it came back. And Lee Evans, I think it is, has given Wigan the lead. It's Portsmouth 0, Wigan 1. Shouldn't have bigged up Wigan set pieces. They've been pretty hopeless so far. And Harness is trying to drive forward. And Harness has got Curtis with him. Curtis to drive into the penalty area. Ronan Curtis will get the shot away. And it hits the legs of Cameron. And the pace of the ball disappears. And Cameron can clear it up towards halfway. Naylor loses possession and Wigan come forward and there's space on the left here and Solomon Otterball's into the penalty area across the face of goal and just wide. And Morrie gets away from him and Morrie can drive into the penalty area. Morrie still going on his left foot. Morrie goes down. Referee not interested in the penalty. Evan shoots over the bar. Wigan lining this one up. It's a shot on goal. It is into the net. Wigan have a second. Unbelievable. Is it Perry who's drilled it in? McGilvery can't claw it out, going away to his right-hand side. And Wigan have doubled their lead. It's Portsmouth 0, Wigan 2. Here we go. Moment. Whistle goes. Jacobs dummies to lay it off. Everyone charges. Now he lays it for Curtis. Blocked. Second ball deflected over the bar. Wigan survive. Corner kick. Knocking it around. Oh, that's silly from Wigan. They've gifted it to Williams into the area. Harrison brings it down. Can Harrison get the shot away? He'll lay it up for Marquis. Deflected off Cameron over the bar. Corner kick. Leoparded in swinger. In towards the six-yard box. Raggett's head off the post and wide. Closest Pompey have come. Williams, can he control it? Can he get the shot away? Williams, he can and he puts it wide. Still 2-0 Wigan.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's 2-1 defeat at home to Wigan last time out. It's time now to welcome in my two guests for this evening's show. Joining me over the phone, first of all, I'm delighted to welcome Sam Stone back onto the show. Sam, hello, mate. Great to have you on board with us tonight.
Hi, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks yourself. It's been a very long period of no football, no real shows, but we seem to be back in the flow of things now, which is sort of nice.
Yeah, it's sort of nice. I mean, until you played that Wigan highlights, it was I'd completely just about got over it from last week. Yeah, it was Pompey seemed to be getting not exactly helping our moods at the moment, but hopefully they can start to look like some sort of cohesion and a football team this weekend at Burson,
yeah,
and give us something to smile about.
Sam, as with a lot of guests we have on the Football Hour throughout the course of a season, it's been quite some time since we last spoke. I trust you're keeping well and also hope you are somewhat enjoying football back in some sort of capacity after so long without it throughout lockdown.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely enjoying it being back. Obviously, the Premier League being back as well. I love watching the Premier League football, so it's just something that's to kind of keep us all going. But yeah, I just hope, obviously, Pompey, start of the season hasn't been great. We need something to kind of get, just something this weekend to get our mood, everyone on the right track, and let's get going in this season, whatever our thoughts on the manager may be.
Yeah. And joining Sam on the other end of the line is Andy Mitchell-Moore, who I'm also glad to hear from this evening. Andy, thanks for calling in.
Nice to be here, Jake. Thank you for the invitation. It's always nice to join you, mate.
It's always a pleasure, Andy. Last week, we sat here mulling over the departure of fan favourite Gareth Evans, who went on to join Bradford in League Two on a free transfer. A real dagger to the heart of Pompey fans, that one, Andy. What did you make of the news?
I think it was some news that sort of tore me both ways. So on a personal level, obviously extremely sad to see him go because he pretty much bleeds blue and he's one of that League Two core winning group that there aren't that many of them left now in the squad. I think on a purely footballing decision, if we're looking to free up a space in the squad, you look at some of the players that we've got in the squad and you wouldn't necessarily see Evans starting in front of them in that number 10 role or starting on the right. So for footballing reasons, and if he wants to play first team football, I can completely see why it works for both parties for him to disappear, I guess. But yeah, on a sort of a more sentimental level, it's very, very sad to see him go.
Yeah. talking about Pompey now and last week's game, Sam, of course, we spoke about it on Monday. We really, you know, analysed that match and really pinpointed where things went wrong. But we'll briefly touch upon it now before we do move on to obviously what's next to come for the Blues. It seems to be the general consensus amongst supporters that the quality is there within the team. You know, the players and the big names that are there, you know, they are at Pompey and they are capable of performing on their day. But it maybe seems to be for the philosophy and the tactics that is getting us down at the moment.
Yeah, I think you've just nailed it, mate. We can all see it. There's on paper, this squad is one of the better teams in the league, and we can all see that. We've last season we're on a good run of form in the middle of the season. It's definitely there. There's some good players, you know, Curtis, Marquis, Harness, all getting to most League One sides. It's just staggering on Saturday. There's the complete lack of cohesion going forward. And then for a Kenny Jackett prides his teams on being defensively stable. And the goal, well, the first goal we conceded, that Evans was just free on the penalty spot. And that's not something you kind of associate with Portsmouth over the last 3 years under his tenure. So, yeah, it's just the kind of lack of cohesion going forward, if we're talking about that as well. It's just we've got the players to play on paper some good attacking football. Jacobs, Harness, Curtis, all tricky players who should be able to create more than they are doing at the moment, because when we go forward it just looks like we're playing more of a mistake for kind of our chance to come or a set piece or something like that. Is at the moment it really isn't clicking going forward.
Yeah, Wigan Athletic, Andy, a club really going through some tough times at the DW Stadium. They are actually close, we hear, to securing a buyer from Spain. So hopefully, you know, from a footballing perspective and as football supporters with any club, we hope that goes through and we wish them all the best. But in terms of them coming down to Fratton Park on Saturday afternoon, they'd lost their opening two matches. They are in administration and they are a club who, you know, on and off the pitch are really struggling, and that was perhaps Pompey's chance to, in a fair way, take advantage of that and use that to our benefit and get our first win of the season. But when I say unexpected defeat, I know fans will maybe say, no, I expected a drab game. I didn't necessarily expect us to win. But in terms of all of the factors that you take into account, it really was rather a disappointing result considering.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's important to remember that they're not in the exact situation that Bolton were in last season, in that they're not fielding, you know, 16, 17-year-olds. Yeah. They've got quite a core to the team who are reasonably experienced in League One. But even with that caveat, I think they, was it 21 players they've had leave the club in the space of the last 2.5 months? So in terms of that coherence or the cohesion that Sam just mentioned, you would expect if there was one team on the pitch to have cohesion, it would be the team that's been, you know, training together since they've been able to, since the end of lockdown. And Wigan looked like the team with more cohesion there, which is, I think that's the main concern. Because as Sam says, if you look at the Pompey squad on paper, as I do, you know, every week I compare the two squads on match day. And it's very rare that you say that on paper you'd rather have the opposition squad. I don't think that would happen in League One. To be honest with you, I'd take Pompey's squad on their day over any other squad. But yeah, as Sam has said, that cohesion just wasn't there on the pitch. And yeah, that obviously raises questions as to why that's the case.
In terms of the players now, Sam, and you know, not what everyone seems to be pinpointing on social media the blame down to, which it does seem to be the manager. Looking at the players, do you believe that maybe they've got to take some sort of responsibility as well? Because last Saturday's game, it appeared that Wigan worked harder, really, throughout the entire match, and they took their chances. Pompey didn't. They left it too late and obviously ended up being defeated.
I think it's a tough question because I don't want to, at the end of the day, the team is set up and it is the tactics that are used are the manager's decision. For me, I kind of, from what watching on Saturday, it looked like, I said to my dad, you're watching it just looked like the players in some sort of way weren't playing for the manager. They weren't enthusiastic about what they were doing. It didn't to me look like they believed in what they were being told to do, which is hence why Wigan looked more energetic. They looked more enthusiastic. They were the ones that kind of, you could hear their bench as well. They sounded like they were the ones who wanted to win the game. Looking at the game, it just looked like the players just didn't want to play for the tactics and what they've been told to do. Yeah, you are right, though. They are quality players. And at the end of the day, they do need to stand up a little bit and, you know, that they should be putting in effort because they are professionals, is what they're paid to do. But you could just see that there was something, there's something not right, and it will be interesting to see on tomorrow whether there is that still kind of lack of effort, or there's not that enthusiasm you'd expect from a team that's, well, that's been together for a while. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow. But there, for me, I could definitely see they weren't playing for, well, maybe not playing for the manager.
Yeah. Andy, Kenny has said many times throughout the last couple of seasons that he wants to get us out of this division. Pompey are 21st on the table, they're in the relegation zone. So after two failed playoff campaigns, do you think he's now decided to switch to a relegation battle? it's way too early in the season.
That, or is that rhetorical, Jake?
It's very rhetorical. It's very a hint of sarcasm in that. But it is early in the season, Andy, and Pompey are technically in the relegation zone. But in terms of going forward, do you worry for Pompey's future, or is there a hint that maybe Kenny Jackett can turn this around, as he has done before, in all fairness, and get Pompey into the positions where we really strive to be?
So I think, I mean, you could say this a lot during the season, but I think October, the next month, is crunch time, effectively. So we've got 8 games in the space of a month, which is quite frankly ridiculous. But it does give the opportunity to get some momentum and to get something going. And you've got, I mean, as fans from the outside, we have absolutely, you know, especially when we can't go to games, we have very little actual input. So all we can do at this point in time is hope that, you know, we nick a result this weekend and get some momentum, because some of the games we've got coming up are actually quite tough games. We've got Sunderland and Charlton in the space of a week, I think, in a few weeks' time. Yeah. What we need is to have momentum by that point. Going into those games, if we've struggled to pick up points against, you know, I think we've got Southend or Rochdale coming up. If we're struggling to pick up points in these games against Burton, etc., then you worry for those bigger games. But I'm calmer than I was last week. I think if you'd asked me that question on Sunday, my answer would probably be a bit more sort of vociferous than it is at this point.
Yeah. Andy, Sam, thank you both so much. We'll be linking back up with you very shortly. This is a reminder now for you Blues fans listening back home. You can also have your say on anything Pompey related simply by getting in touch with the show before 7 o'clock this evening. Perhaps you have an answer to one of the following questions I am posing to you tonight. Which formation would you send the boys out to play this weekend if you were in charge of selecting the team? Does Ellis Harrison deserve to start tomorrow's game up in Burton? And do you believe that Kenny Jackett has what it takes to steady the ship and turn the season around for Pompey? He's done it before, but how confident are you that he can rescue it again and take the Blues one step further? To get involved, simply text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Tweet in using at expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. We're also looking for your score predictions ahead of tomorrow's league trip to the Pirelli Stadium. And after the break, we'll be speaking to Donald Vass from the Pompey Supporters Trust to dig deeper into the statement released earlier this week, which highlighted the financial implications that EFL clubs are having to deal with as a result of supporters still not being allowed back inside stadiums at an elite level. You will not want to miss that one, plus much, much more, which is still yet to come. Right here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey. Stay tuned to the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part two of the Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. The show is this season sponsored by Stagecoach Across the South. Visit stagecoach.co.uk or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Store to plan your next journey and review the latest COVID guidelines. Now, last week we spoke of this statement released by Colchester United chairman Robbie Cowling, who shared his frustrations about the latest COVID guidelines and restrictions, which have pushed back the planned return of supporters at football matches for a considerable amount of time, thus losing his and, well, every single club in the country a lot of money during a time in which no support has yet been offered from higher up to keep them alive. Football clubs, whether you like it or not, are businesses, and these businesses rely on the revenue of fans to keep afloat. And during these times, there are tons of teams in the EFL and indeed the National League pyramid who are struggling to make ends meet and who really are relying on the return of crowds, albeit at limited capacities, to keep them ticking over. Unfortunately, the Prime Minister has postponed the pilot scheme for elite-level sports, which is classed in football terms as any division above and including the National League South and North. We could be waiting until March 2021 before we next see fans in attendance at Fratton Park. On Wednesday, the Pompey Supporters Trust, with the backing of Portsmouth Football Club and CEO Mark Hatlin, released a statement pleading to the government to reconsider their decision and to allow fans back into stadiums imminently. The document itself is rather long, and I'm not going to read through all of it word for word right now, but I will mention some of the key points raised within. One line reads, "The season restarted with an expectation facilitated by the government that fans will be allowed into stadiums by October, which was dashed by the Prime Minister a few weeks ago. And yet, as citizens, we are trusted to assess the risk to our health in going to the cinema or theatre, sitting on an aeroplane, going to pubs or restaurants. But we apparently cannot be trusted to assess the risk in going to a football match, sitting in the open air, socially distanced from other fans. We are led to believe that there are concerns about fans travelling to games safely, but those same risks exist on masses of people travelling to airports and shopping centres too." Another interesting part describes how the PST has liaised with the club about how they would plan to operate match days with social distancing in place. "We know our stadium and can see how it can easily be configured to enable one-way movement and social distancing," the statement goes on to say. And it then goes on to say that our local safety advisory group, comprising of the club, fan representatives and local council and emergency services, are the best placed body to assess the risks on travel and attendance and make recommendations for how football can safely resume, aided by guidance from a sports ground safety authority. Football clubs have been managing crowds for decades, and fans are very familiar with operating in controlled environments and following the directions of stewards. If you would like to read the entire statement, head over either to Twitter and follow at Pompey Trust, or visit pompeytrust.com/news. I'm joined now by Donald Vass, who is the treasurer of the PST. Donald, thank you for taking the time this evening to speak to us.
Evening, Jake. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure is all mine, mate. A pretty bold statement released by the Trust earlier this week, Donald, but one I'm sure many can agree had to be made in order to make a point and really stand up to the issue that has been presented to clubs in the EFL.
Football supporters aren't daft. They know that attending football at the moment isn't without risk. That is equally true of going to a restaurant, a pub or a cinema, where the government has recognised the economic need for these businesses to remain open in a limited way. My local theatre in Chichester is reopening in a few weeks' time. What is the logic in allowing me to attend a comedy show there indoors, but not to attend a football match outdoors? It just defies sense. We currently have this absurd situation where on Saturday, Wealdstone are going to be able to allow fans into their indoor clubhouse to watch their game against Chesterfield on TV. But those same fans couldn't step outside a few metres to watch the game take place live from the stands. I know Havant and Waterlooville have already had that as well. Their playoff game with Dartford was behind closed doors, but their supporters could watch the game on TV a few metres away in their pub, the Westley. It's just nonsense. Fans are already allowed to attend games in limited numbers in France and Italy and Germany in their top divisions. Why not here in the UK? I think the choice is just really stark now. The government needs to either allow fans back into stadiums in a limited, COVID-secure way so that clubs can start earning money again, or it needs to bail these businesses out with financial support. If football clubs get neither of these things, I think the sad fact is that many historic clubs are going to go to the wall.
Yeah. Luckily, though, Pompey are in a fortunate and privileged situation right now, Donald, whereby the Tornante Company and the Eisners are fully backing the Blues financially to see out this difficult time and to ensure that the club stays afloat. But other clubs may not be so lucky, and that's the real issue here.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with the club throughout the pandemic, to be honest. Pompey and the community have done outstanding work. I believe the club have topped up wages of furloughed staff up to 100% of their normal salary. They consulted with fan groups on a season ticket proposal, which I think was sensible and fair, at a time when other clubs were still taking full payments as though everything was normal. I think we as Portsmouth fans are really lucky that we're not really at threat of extinction as a result of the pandemic and the government regulations, but not every club can say the same thing. We know the current ban on attending football covers all elite sports. Now, I think it's probably fair to say anyone that's watched Pompey so far this year might argue we are not elite level right now. But the definition obviously covers everything down to the National League, North and South. Clubs in the National League have been told this week that there will be a government bailout for them. although I know they're still anxiously waiting on the details on that. But clubs in League One and League Two are playing on with no such assurances. Clubs at this level are so reliant on their matchday income, and it is no exaggeration to say many won't survive without help.
Within the statement, the Trust highlights that plans have been discussed and methods thought of to bring fans back at a reduced capacity. It's clear to see that Fratton Park has the ability to host matches with limited supporters in attendance, which must be frustrating considering that it can be done, yet it's just not being allowed.
Yeah, the PST and some other supporters groups on the Tony Goodall Fans Conference have heard some of the club's plans for opening safely. And obviously we had the test event against Wigan ready to go before the government advice changed. The club have thought long and hard about how to open in a COVID-secure way. Fans would be carefully spaced out. They'd be attending in bubbles of up to six. One-way systems in place throughout the concourse and so on. And I know anecdotally we've heard good things from the clubs which were able to put test events on. Fans which attended at Cambridge, for example, reported being impressed with how well the matches went. I went to Chichester for their FA Cup game last week, as they're at a level still able to admit fans. You can see some of the things in action even there already. E-tickets, contactless payments, one-way systems in the bar and so on. I'm really confident football clubs at all levels could open in a limited COVID-secure way if they're allowed to do so by the government.
Perhaps the strongest and, to be honest, my favourite line of that statement, Donald, reads, "It simply appears that football outside the Premier League has been chosen by the government as the business that can be sacrificed in the current crisis." Is this a case of the old cliche, money talks?
Even right at the start of the pandemic, you had Matt Hancock singling out footballers, calling for them to take a pay cut to play their part in the response. It does feel to me as though the government have just decided that there's plenty of money sloshing around in football and that it can essentially look after itself for all this. And while that's maybe true at the top level of the game, where the TV revenue is largely unaffected and forms the main bulk of income for Premier League clubs, we know that further down the pyramid, the lower down you go, the more important gate receipts and matchday income is. I think the government appears to want the Premier League to bail out the rest of the pyramid, and I think they're sort of concerned that it would be a bad look for them to be giving football clubs financial support at a time when, to use just one example, Manchester City are spending £16.5 million on a new defender. But the reality is clubs like Portsmouth, Haven and so on, we operate on a completely different planet to the Premier League. One size doesn't fit all when it comes to football in this country.
Definitely. It is ludicrous how much money is still being flung around at the top flight when you've got clubs down in the lower divisions on the brink of going out of business. It's really sad to see. How confident are you, Donald, that fans will be allowed back to return at some point this season? Do more clubs perhaps need to come on board and speak up in order for this movement to gain any traction?
There is sustained pressure from clubs, supporters groups and politicians to get this changed. Stephen Morgan, the MP for Pompey South, has already responded to our statement and has submitted written parliamentary questions to the House of Commons, raising some of the issues we've highlighted. I'd love to say we'll have fans back in stadium soon, but because the infection rates are on the rise, I do think it'll be difficult for the government to be seen to be loosening restrictions right now. I'm really hopeful they'll finally allow football clubs to earn themselves an income, in the same way restaurants, pubs, cinemas, theatres have been. But I have to say I'm not optimistic about being at Fratton Park this side of March.
Donald, thank you so much for talking to us tonight. Take care, and I hope to hear from you again soon.
Cheers, Jake. All the best, and fingers crossed for a good result at Burton on Saturday, eh?
Oh, trust me, I've got my fingers, toes and just about everything crossed for a win tomorrow. I'm going to bring Sam and Andy back into the conversation. Now, lads, of course, we're all aware that the number one priority over everything right now is to get rid of this virus and ensure that as many people are protected as possible. Football simply pales in comparison when you think of everything else that's going on. However, Sam, it is now getting a little frustrating that you can do all of these things, such as, you know, attending theatres, going to a pub with your mates, boarding an aeroplane with a few hundred people, or simply just passing loads of people in a supermarket who struggle to keep to a social distance. But high standard football has been left to basically live without the income, and fans also, from a mental side of it as well, are missing out on a big part of their lives.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think life will be back to normal until I can wake up on a Saturday, go down to the pub and then go to the football. Like, that's what I know that life is back to normal when I'm in a stadium with 10,000 plus fans watching Portsmouth. And that's what you do every Saturday. It's what we've all done for the last 15. Well, that's what I've done for the last 15 years. And I won't feel like life is back to normal until we've got that. I will say one thing. I think the government said their excuse or one of their points was saying that fans congregate before games in pubs, etc. But if it's a reduced number of fans as well, it just kind of doesn't really add up. I will say one thing, obviously, on this kind of point. Obviously, the club at the moment not doing great on the field. There's a lot of kind of toxicity towards the manager as well. But we have to kind of remember that we are very lucky, and it was mentioned in that interview that Pompey have got Michael Eisner kind of backing us up in this very like unstable time at the moment. So we are very fortunate about that. And I do think some clubs will go to the wall because of this. And Pompey will be lucky to be kind of left over at the end of it. So that kind of does, it needs a little bit of a reality check. But yeah, it is really frustrating, especially when we can go to the pub, theatre, etc.
Yeah. Pompey fans tuning in, what do you make of the PSD statement? Do you agree with the points made? What has frustrated you the most since hearing the news of the cancellation of the scheme to return fans this month? And when do you truly believe you'll next be able to step foot inside a football ground? All the usual ways to get involved this evening, if you don't know them by now, they can be found on our website, expressfm.com. And really reiterating what, you know, Sam just mentioned there, Andy, and of course Donald as well. It is so frustrating that, you know, this can't happen. And I think many supporters, you know, despite what is happening on the pitch, we're really looking forward to last Saturday and the potential of 1,000 fans turning up to Fratton Park, okay, sitting apart from each other, but just being able to enjoy live football, you know, in front of their very eyes. You know, that really would have been a step in the right direction. But unfortunately, you know, with the measures that now have been put in place, you know, that won't be possible until, well, we imagine maybe February or March time. But how long do you think this can go on? You know, we're not going to get into, you know, a coronavirus debate here, but in terms of football, this could last quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a really interesting interview with Donald there. I think the main issue for me is the inconsistency. And again, we don't want to go political, but it's the way that at the same time we've got certain aspects of life being tightened and certain aspects of life being loosened. And again, we're talking about coherency and consistency in Pompey, but there's no coherency in the message. And again, I'm not going to go political, but the government does seem to take turns on who it's blaming for the current state of affairs.
Yeah.
And at the moment, if you look at the sort of the return to university, etc., it's currently the fault of predominantly the younger sort of that age group of 16 through 25. So it's suddenly that age group's fault. You see a lot of stuff in the news about blaming university students, etc., at the moment after they've been told to go back to uni. And I think that sort of demographic, it's the whole football lockdown kind of fits that narrative as well.
Yeah.
Where they're sort of, I mean, I don't want to use too strong a terms here, but they've picked the current blame culture, then they're going with it, and that applies to football as well, because, you know, statistically the majority of football fans are going to be in that demographic. But I think, I mean, we spoke to Mark Catlin at the start, well, the first few weeks of lockdown, and as he says, yeah, we're going to be one of the last clubs standing if it does turn into one of those last longer sort of bets.
Which
we should be extremely grateful for. But we don't want it to get to that point where we've only got 18, 16 teams left in the league. The fact that we're one of them is great, but I mean, at what point do we hit that sort of crunch point? And I agree that I don't think we'll be seeing numbers of fans in stadium until March-ish now. I'm based in Oxford and numbers here are well on the rise, and you're seeing local lockdowns everywhere, and it's such a subjective thing. You can't apply just one rule to blanket League One, because the state of affairs in Rochdale or in League Two, the state of affairs in Tranmere is going to be so different to the state of affairs in Portsmouth at the other end of the country.
Yeah.
So it's got to be done on a case-by-case basis, and they're just not prioritising that as their time. Yeah, it's how they're going to spend their time at the moment, looking at football stadiums.
Yeah. Mark has got involved on the text. He says that, thank God, we've got the owners that we have got who run the club properly and have already said they will fund the club even if no fans can attend. But it does mean that Kenny's job is safe because no income is coming into the club, says Mark on the text. just a few kind of situations that have come about this recent news and some interesting and quirky stories that have come out of it. I think Chesterfield were one of the teams in the National League who offering hospitality boxes inside of their stadium to for supporters to watch the match on a stream on the TVs inside the hospitality boxes, but the curtains have got to be closed on the windows, so they can't see what's going on the pitch just, you know, yards away from them, which is quite obscure. A good way for the club to get around, you know, the loss of income certainly, but quite a weird scenario that one. And also Isle of Man Football Club, non-league side, who are unable to start their league campaign this week because of the travel restrictions between the Isle of Man and the mainland England. So they find themselves in an awkward position where they may not be able to play a game at all for quite a while. So there's a lot of strange stories coming out of this. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, as you say, Andy, perhaps inconsistencies and a lot of points to be made, and well, this is something that no one anticipated, and something that, you know, is being made up as we go along. But I don't think you can really blame that, because, like you say, this is something that no one, you know, really accounted for. But certainly an interesting topic for debate. And if you've got any views back home that you still want to share, don't forget to get involved. You know all the ways to do so by now. Right, Sam, Andy, thank you once again for your input there. We're going to head to our final break of the night now, and after which we'll be hearing from the boss, Kenny Jackett, as well as Mason Jordan, who will be talking us through what to expect from this week's opposition, Burton Albion. As always, we'd love to hear from you back home too. You have just under 20 minutes to contact us this evening. To do so, you can either text your name and message, starting with the word Express to 81400, email pompey@expressfm.com, include @expressfm in your tweets, or you can comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/pompeylive. We'll be back in just a few moments' time when the Football Hour returns on 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the third and final part of tonight's show. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent services across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth and beyond through Hampshire and East Sussex too. Stagecoach across the south are once again the proud supporters of the Football Hour this season. We've reached the final 20 minutes of the show, which means we'll be hearing from the gaffer and looking a little closer at this week's opponents, Burton Albion. This is also the part of the show where we'll be going through your score predictions for this weekend's game. Be sure to get in touch with your guesses before we leave you at 7 o'clock. All the normal ways to get involved this evening, it's at ExpressFM on Twitter, facebook.com/PompeyLive if you're on Facebook, or you can text your prediction to 81400. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express and include your name too. Alternatively, you can email in pompey@expressfm.com. Whilst you do that, we're going to hear from the manager, Kenny Jackett, who spoke to Ollie Marsh from the club's media team ahead of this weekend's clash at the Pirelli Stadium, first speaking of how well the preparations have gone on the training pitch ahead of this weekend's game.
Yeah, very good. We're obviously desperate to get playing. It's been a long week in some ways after a defeat against Wigan, because you know, it would have been great if there was a Tuesday game and we could have got on with it, but you know, we've been able to, you know, we think, be constructive this week about what we're doing. Saturday's coming anyway, and you know, we want to start our league campaign off with a win if we can. Some, you know, frustrating games, if you like, a couple of draws and a 2-1 defeat shows that we're not too far away, and we've had spells in every game where we've been on top, but similarly we haven't really, I don't think, cracked a 90 minute performance yet in the league either, and we have to say that. So that's where we start on Saturday, and see if that can take us towards our first win. I think you know, a good squad and a talented squad, and finding the right combination, getting the balance right, building up their confidence where they can win on a regular basis is what we've been talking about, and I've got to say as well what we're capable of.
It's funny you should mention Tuesday games. You've got 8 match days to look forward to in October. Is that something that you're relishing?
Yeah, it is. We're ready. We do feel for the routine of playing. The team needs to get into a rhythm. And, you know, for us anyway, while the games have been close, we don't think we've been at our best either. And you know, we want to be putting on a top-class performance on Saturday from start to finish. You know, a consistent, a good 90-minute performance is what we're looking for Saturday from everybody. And as I said, we are capable of it. After that, yeah, the games come thick and fast. We understand that and we know that. And we are ready for it and we are looking for it. And you know, if anything last season is to go by. We do need that rhythm, you know. We do need that consistent games to gain their confidence, and you know, it's a good thing.
Obviously, 2 points from your opening three games isn't the return that you would have wanted, but do you think it's too early to say that you've got off to a bad start?
Well, in the three games so far, we haven't won a game. So, you know, as you say, two draws and a defeat is not what we want. And whether that's a start, there's plenty of games to go and there's a lot of the season ahead. And I do think we've got a good squad. You know, that's where we are. But we're disappointed with the results, definitely. We have to turn those into positive results, but we're capable of that as well.
Did score your first league goal of the season on Saturday. No team has conceded more goals than Burton Albion in League One. Do you think it's the perfect opposition to build on what you scored on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't want to really focus on the opposition too much because, you know, for us anyway, everybody's competitive, everybody's a good side, and I have respect for everybody. But similarly, getting my own team right, our own performance, we do think we can win, you know, on not just individual days, but consistently in League One. We've proved that before, and we have to get to that quickly. So, you know, away from the respect of the opposition, they'll have a few players coming back, which will make sure they're stronger than they have been, and obviously for their own reasons, they'll want that. But for us anyway, our focus is on ourselves and making sure we get that 90-minute performance that we're looking for.
Yeah, and obviously part of preparing the team, how do you make sure that the lads keep their morale and confidence high despite the slightly disappointing start to the season?
Yeah, confidence is hard earned and easily goes away, and you do need then character and ability, and we have both. You know, we have both character and ability in the squad, and as I said, if we can, you know, work away at finding the right combination, the right balance of players, when we do that, we can go on the run that can take us up the table.
Ollie Marsh there with Kenny Jackett, who shared his pre-match thoughts at the training ground earlier this week. It's time now to take a closer look at this week's opponents, Burton Albion, who welcome the Blues to the Pirelli Stadium for tomorrow's 3 o'clock kickoff. Mason Jordan is here now with an insight into what Pompey will be going up against when they take on the Brewers.
It's back on the road for Pompey this week, who are looking for their first league win of the season at the fourth time of asking. Following 2 0-0 draws and a home defeat in their opening trio of fixtures, the Blues travel to the Pirelli Stadium for match day 4, where Burton Albion await.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Pompey have a decent record against the Brewers, falling to just one defeat in the last 7 meetings. The last time the two sides met, the points were shared at Fratton Park following a 2-0 draw under the floodlit fortress. Brett Pittman netting a 95th minute penalty to save Kenny's blushes. The return leg, which was intended to be played towards the end of the last campaign, was not fulfilled due to the curtailment of football following the COVID-19 outbreak.
Manager.
Defender turned manager Jake Buxton leads the Brewers from the dugout. The 35-year-old took the job on the 18th of May of this year, when lockdown restrictions were more solidified, following the departure of fan favourite Nigel Clough, who stepped down to help the club financially survive through this difficult period. Buxton has yet to retire from the playing side of the game, though, and is expected to see a game time limited this season in order to fulfil his managerial duties.
One to watch.
Watch out for 19-year-old prospect Indiana Vasilev during this game. The attacking midfielder, who is currently on loan at the Pirelli Stadium from Premier League outfit Aston Villa, signed for the Brewers on September the 17th and made his debut for the club 2 days later in a 2-1 victory at home to Accrington Stanley. Vasilev, who's started his football career in the IMG Academy in Florida, has represented the United States of America on 3 different levels between the under-17s and under-20s, though is also of Bulgarian descent. He could decide to switch allegiances and play for the Bulgarian senior team in the future, so long as he doesn't represent the USA at that level beforehand.
Top scorer.
Long-serving Football League defender John Brayford is currently Burton's leading scorer in League One this season, having netted twice already. The 32-year-old bagged goals against Fleetwood and Accrington before letting the forwards do the work away to Swindon, where they were defeated by 4-2. Brayford has been a Brewer since the summer of 2016, initially joining on a season-long loan before making the switch from Sheffield United permanently in 2017. He had also played for the club in the first 2 seasons of his professional career, signing his first pro contract in Staffordshire in 2006. He is also previously run out for the likes of Crewe Alexandra, Derby County and Cardiff City.
Current form.
Burton Albion sit 15th in the table, having picked up 3 points from their opening three fixtures, recording one victory between two defeats. You can pretty much guarantee goals at both ends when the Brewers are involved. The club have scored 5 and conceded 7 so far in League One this season. That's 12 goals scored between them and their opponents in just 3 games. Only AFC Wimbledon can say they've had more put in the back of the net, having scored 7 and led in 6th. Last term, Burton finished in 12th position after implementation of the unweighted points per game system. Will it be the 4th time lucky for Pompey this weekend, or will the Brewers inflict even more misery on the Blues? Find out. All the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
A closer look at Pompey's challenge tomorrow afternoon. Burton Albion with our very own Mason Jordan. Okay, we're going to get to some of the text tweets and emails coming in. Alan Swift says, hi guys, with no new faces coming in, I would make 2 changes. Ben Close in for Morris, the new centre-half in for Raggett to give us more impetus from the back. Anything like this is well worth trying, he says. Having said all this, I still have concerns for tomorrow that we will be lucky to come away with maybe a 0-0 draw. I still think a change of formation is now needed to give Marquis the extra support he desperately needs. At Doncaster, he had a partner. Now he just has himself. Even Guy Whittingham admitted he needed Paul Walsh to supply the bullets for his 42 goals for that record-breaking season. Perhaps Kenny should have Guy, who knows something about goal scoring, as his coach. Alan then goes on to finish with, I'd love to say a win tomorrow, but only a draw is on my cards. Thank you to Alan Swift, as always, for getting in touch on the emails. We've got a couple of texts coming in as well. Roger in Gosport, great to hear from you as well, Roger. He says, evening, Jake. Trying to stay positive about the manager until the end of the season. If results don't happen, then there's no alternative but to get a new manager in. As for Saturday, I'd go for a 4-4-2 formation. Thank you, Roger in Gosport. Gav Jones on Twitter also says, good evening to you, Gav. How about Cannon alongside Naylor as the attacking midfield option, allowing Naylor to sit back, mop up and protect the back four, and at the same time allowing Cannon to get forward and support the attack? Just an idea, says Gav Jones on Twitter. We've got a few moments to discuss tomorrow's game, lads. I'm going to start off with you, Andy. Some interesting points made there, and some I really want to highlight as well now. The potential formation change is something that's been spoken about quite a lot over the last few days, and really since the start of the season, actually. And one of the most interesting ones that I've seen on social media throughout the week is a 4-1-2-1-2. Maybe we could implement maybe Michael Jacobs in central midfield alongside Tom Naylor, or with Curtis at central attacking midfield, Marcus Harness and Ryan Williams on the wings, and John Marquis and Ellis Harrison up top. Maybe even Andy Cannon in centre mid, Jacobs in that number 10 role, and Curtis and Harness on the wings. Some options there for Kenny Jackett to play with, and something of a formation that actually whets the appetites of Pompey fans. It's quite positive, that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we were saying before we came on air, all it takes is one positive performance where, you know, there's a bit of attacking flair there, and you can start turning people's heads, turning people's attitudes around a little bit. I do agree that it would be nice, in my opinion, to see Marquis have some company up front. One of the issues we saw in the earlier games in the season was how deep Marquis has been having to drop. So there's been a couple of games where he's been playing, on average, deeper than Harness. And there was one game where he was playing deeper than Jacobs, where Jacobs came on as a sub on average. So having that sort of company up front would certainly be an advantage. I'd be reluctant to move Curtis from the left. It's his favoured position, and I think he's done enough there in a Portsmouth shirt that we know that when it clicks with him in this league, it will click, and he can change games in a split second. So I'd be reluctant to move him to that 10 role. I mean, him and Jacobs both ideally like playing in that left-hand side.
Yeah.
And I guess it just comes down to who Jacket is giving priority to in that position to play in their favoured role. My only concern with that more attacking position, attacking formation, would be that when the games have opened up so far this season, so the Rochdale game, for example, was it Rochdale or Southend? I always get them mixed up.
It was Rochdale a couple of weeks back. Southend's coming on Tuesday night.
Yeah, so the Rochdale game, when that really opened up in the last 20, we looked really vulnerable at getting caught out at the back. So I'd be cautious about us suddenly opening games up and playing this free-flowing attacking football, because we did look vulnerable at the back, and we conceded some good chances there as well.
Some more emails coming in. Linda Mayle says, it's a pity we don't play on paper like we're always saying. We need a team to motivate themselves without the crowd, because they don't get it from a manager, Linda says. Other clubs are in the same position, even Sunderland, who also had big crowds for the last few seasons. Thank you to Linda there. I don't quite agree about Sunderland and the big crowds, but each to their own. John Ellerton says Kenny Jackett has failed for three seasons running to achieve his objective. Very few fans have any confidence, but he can do it this time. We need a young, ambitious manager with modern ideas, says John on the emails. Cyril Pelham on Facebook says it's not Kenny's fault that if the players don't turn up. Very interesting, Cyril, and you're very right, and it's something that we spoke about earlier in the show. You know, players do sometimes have to take responsibility for their actions. Some more coming in on Facebook as well. Where are we? Agent Orange, actually, on Twitter says, if we're on a ship, it's the Titanic, says Agent Orange on Twitter. Thank you for getting in touch. Not many people truly confident of Kenny turning the season around, Sam, but we'll finish on a positive, and that is that Ronan Curtis is set to make his 100th appearance for Pompey tomorrow, so that'll be something that he'll be looking forward to, and quite an achievement, and you know, having only spent two seasons at the club so far.
Yeah, you probably say he's one of our biggest finds, if you like, of the last kind of five years since the club's kind of turned around and started going the right way. Yeah, considering he was like a kind of a bit of a long shot, they weren't really sure on him when they signed him, and for him to kind of be just a first choice, he's probably the first name on the team sheet most weeks, made his island, he's made international appearances. Yeah, and he will, you know, this season, it does worry me if we don't get out of this league. You know, his age as well, he will want to be playing at a higher level. Obviously, we've had rumours that Brentford were after him this summer, this transfer window maybe. So, but yeah, considering where we signed him from, how he's developed, he's everything that the fans like. You like how his passion, etc. So, yeah, great find, and it's great to see him kind of put up number 100 in a Pompey shirt.
We're going to get to some score predictions coming in now on Facebook. Arpit Patel says Burton is going to win 3-0. Alan Snelling is going for a Pompey 4-0 win. Craig Vaughan's going for 3-1 defeat. Jeff Harris thinks we're going to lose. And Daz Silverster is going for a 2-0 Pompey win, saying we've got to come good soon. Lads, thank you very much for joining us. Got a quick score prediction from you two, starting with Sam.
Sadly, I'm going to go 2-1 Burton. I haven't seen anything that's going to make me think different.
Very quickly from you, Andy.
I'm going 1-1, mate. Win at home, draw away.
Lads, thank you very much. I'm afraid that music you can hear playing now means we've reached the end of this evening's show. I'd like to send a big thanks to my two brilliant guests this evening, Sam Stone and Andy Mitchell-Moore, who joined me over the phone to go through the latest Pompey discussion. Also, cheers to Donald Vass from the Pompey Supporters Trust for calling up and talking us through his thoughts regarding their latest statement. Not forgetting you back home, not only for tuning into tonight's programme, but also for interacting on the text, tweets and emails too. OK, coming up for you this evening, we've got 2 hours of Express Party music with Richard Peckham after the news at 7, before Hipshaker returns with a usual groovy blend of 60s soul, R&B and beat music at 9, and then from 11 we're sending you into the weekend with non-stop hits through till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning when Ian McGuinness takes over with Saturday Breakfast. From 11am, you're being treated to an extra dosage of Darren Gamblin. How lucky, as he sits in for Lily Park, who has a day off. Darren will be here right up until 2 o'clock, which is when he hands over to Liam Howes for the start of the build-up of this weekend's footballing action. Myself and Ryan Stilwell will be joining Liam live from the Pirelli Stadium for all of the unmissable action as the Blues take on Burton Albion away from home, seeking the first league victory of the new season. Can they do it? Tune in to Pompey Live from 2 tomorrow afternoon to find out. But until then, have a great evening. Enjoy what's to come here on Express. Most importantly, stay safe and play up Pompey. Good night.